Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you because you are the Lord. We pray that your name be glorified in every life here today in Jesus' name. Lord, many a times, Father, because of the limit to our knowledge and our understanding of you, we miss out on things that you have planned and proposed for us. I pray for everyone in that category in this church today who, for whatever reason, may be missing out on what you have prepared for them. Lord, I pray for restoration in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that whatever the enemy has stolen from anyone here, you will restore back to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, make your mind open and open our eyes to know your mind too, that we may prosper by this work which you have called us into in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Our time is really gone. We'll try to be quick because we still have the Holy Communion to share for this month, because that's what's going to usher us into this coming month. And as many as will partake of the Holy Communion, you will live and you will not die in Jesus' name. You will partake of the blessings of God in Jesus' name. I want to speak to you about preserving the gift that heaven has given you. Preserving the gifts that heaven has given you. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read verse 16 and 17, which we are very familiar with. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. I want us to read it and with a focus. And you are going to ask God to himself explain to you what this verse is all about. These verses, what they are all about. You see, that no one may become guilty of sexual vice or become a profane, godless, and sacrilegious person as Esau did, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain title to his inheritance of the blessing, he was rejected, that is, disqualified and set aside, for he could find no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done. No chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears. That will not be the story of your life in Jesus' name. I'm sure you've heard from me before, and I've said to you that at every time and every dispensation, God positioned people where they are, often for a specific time and for a specific purpose. And we looked at the time of man this morning and we said it's like a window in the continuum of time in the hands of God. Your 70 years, your 100 years, your 120 years on earth, your 150 years, your 200 years on earth is but a window in the continuum of time in the hand of the Almighty God. And so God has put you here at this point for a specific purpose. And we must be careful not to miss that opportunity that it presents to us. I want to tell you that for someone in the house this morning, your time is now in Jesus' name. I say your time is now in Jesus' name. if we are not going to miss out on the purpose for which God has ordained our presence in Australia at this time, in this church, in your family, in the community where you work, why God has ordained you there, if you are not going to miss that purpose, there are certain things we need to be aware of. Because, for example, when many of us came to the Lord, nobody will convince us to take the things of God with levity. We will trust God against all odds. God expects the same from you as when you first became born again. That we continue to trust Him. So continuing to trust God is very important if we are going to preserve the gift that heaven has given us. The Bible says, "Woe unto the man that trusts in the arm of the flesh." That is why when I see people who trust in their own intellect, their ability to manipulate, their ability to do things, I know that it's a waste of time. It is a waste of time. Because it is your ability to continue to trust God that preserves what God has in stock for you. For you. Fear has a way of pushing us sometimes to misplace our trust. I've told us before of King Jeroboam. I like to look at that man a lot. I told you how God called him. He was a nobody, but God called him and said, "Look, Jeroboam, I'm going to give you 10 of the tribes to rule over." And indeed, when Rehoboam, the son of David, was called, and they asked him, "Will you serve the people as their king?" He said, "No, you guys don't know anything. My father used to whip you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpion." It was not the man that intended to say that. It was because God had positioned Jeroboam to take over the 10 of the tribes. Because the Bible makes me to understand that God putteth one man down and He lifts up another. He said promotion comes not from the east, west, north, or south, but promotion comes from the Lord. When God has made up His mind that He wants to promote somebody, nobody can stop them. When He chose to promote Jeroboam, Jeroboam was happy, took the promotion. But when Jeroboam became afraid, the first thing that Jeroboam did was to stop people from going to worship in Jerusalem. He said, because if they go to worship in Jerusalem, they might become loyal to the house of David again and reject him as king. And so, he set in Bethel idols to worship so that the people might remain with him. And in the process, he forgot how the kingdom came to his hand. God rejected him. God will not reject you in Jesus' name. God wants a continued trust in Him. If you go to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Did you start with the works, or did you start with grace or by faith in Jesus Christ? If then you started by grace or faith in Jesus Christ, why don't you continue therein? If we have come to trust the Lord, God expects that we will continue to trust Him and not lean on our own understanding. If the Spirit has been moving you before, are you still in line with the Spirit of God? For example, some of us used to believe in doing good. Remember, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. So God expects that your doing good will continue, irrespective of the circumstance. No excuse will be big enough to displace you from the things of God in Jesus' name. I say no excuse will be big enough to displace you from where God wants to position you in Jesus' name. One of the things that comes with that is the spirit of meekness. When the Spirit of God works in you, that's what gives you meekness to allow God to have His way in your life. Jeroboam eventually lost the kingdom that could have been passed on from, you know, within his household because he lost focus and trust in God. The other thing that will help you to preserve the gift that heaven has given you is to allow the Word of God to have its way in your life. The Bible says, let the Word of God dwell richly in you. What you are going to be in the hand of God depends on how much you allow the Word of God to dwell richly in you. When you allow the Word of God to occupy your imagination, remember I told you that what the world shows you, it's what you can see, what is already achievable. But what the Word of God shows you is what is possible, what has not yet been achieved is what the Word of God shows you. So when the Word of God tells you that you are a victor, it means you are a victor. It's for you to walk into that word. So if you allowed your imagination to be occupied by the Word of God and what God says concerning you, you are already moving into your victory, and somebody will walk into their victory today in Jesus' name. The first sin ever came about as a result of imagination run wild. If you look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14 to 15, let's look at Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. You know this story very well. It tells us of the first sin ever. I'm not talking about Adam and Eve here. The first sin ever that was committed is in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart. Where did he say it? In his heart, in his imagination. He has not done it. All that he did was imagining it. It is imagination that gets transformed into action. That you imagine it and dwell on it. The Bible says concerning Lucifer, he said, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. It was at the level of the imagination of Lucifer. I mean, we all know the story of him. In other words, what occupies your imagination is so important. Let the Word of God dwell richly within you. Let the Word of God occupy your imagination. Let not the things of the world, the vain things of the world, occupy your imagination. For example, in serving God, I tell people, I say, look, it is not the paraphernalia. It is not good morning, pastor. It is not you are welcome, sir. That should preoccupy our minds. It should be that we want to serve God first. When you seek the glory of God, God will take you from obscurity to limelight. Because wherever the glory of God shines, no, look at it this way. When you seek the glory of God, what happens is this. The glory of God will shine wherever you are because you are a seeker of the glory of God, right? And what happens is this. Wherever the glory of God shines, what happens? People will see you. But when you go to seek glory, God will not go with you. But when you seek the glory of God and His glory comes down, it will shine light on you. Your light and your star will shine in Jesus' name. Seek the glory of God. Many a times I've been invited to places to do things, to pray or do. If I think that place will not glorify God, I say no. And I haven't changed. I've been doing it for years and I still haven't changed. Because I seek the glory of God. If I seek the glory of man, one day man will squash it. If man, I've told you, if man promotes you, man will bring you down one day. But if God promotes you, nobody can ever bring you down. In your work, in your endeavor, seek the glory of God and you will see what is going to happen. I've been telling people, I say, tie what you are doing to the glory of God. Tie your job to the glory of God. Tie your children to the glory of God. Tie your household to the glory of God. And you see what God will do in your life. Praise the Lord. I definitely will not be able to finish today, but I will just make this point. I want you to start to appreciate what God is doing in your life. If you are going to preserve what God has given you, start to appreciate what God is doing in your life. The Bible tells us not to do what? With little beginnings. It said, despise not the days of little beginnings. Learn to appreciate what God is doing in your life. Don't focus on what God is doing in someone else's life. We read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. Let's quickly go back there again. I want to show us one or two things and then we'll close. Because I'm not able to finish this. I'm not going to be able to finish this sermon. But we'll just look at Hebrews again. The same place we read, Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. It says, let there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I will leave it there. What I did was this. I decided to check out the meaning of profane. The word profane is taken from a Hebrew word, bebelos. It means a despiser of sacred things. As soon as I saw it, I asked myself, how does giving his birthright equate to, he was born the firstborn and he just decided that he wasn't going to be the firstborn anymore. How does that equate to despising sacred things? How did it suddenly become a sacred thing that he despised? So what did Esau despise that became a sacred thing that he despised? Go to Genesis chapter 25, verse 27 to 34. Genesis 25:27-34. We're going to read something there. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. In other words, he was hungry, he was weak. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore, and unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Please look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He didn't just give it. He did what? He despised his birthright. Because he was not satisfied with the position that God has given him. Because of temporary setback. Because of a transitory difficult situation. He was not happy with the position. And the Bible said he despised his birthright. Is the same despising the birthright that the Bible now says he despised a sacred thing. Where are we going? In other words, look at it. The blessing of Esau was tied to his order of birth. What Esau was going to be in life was tied to his order of birth. Let's look at a few people in the Bible. The widow of Zarephath. What was her blessing tied to? The little oil she had. That was all that was needed. The other widow, her blessing was tied to the little morsel of food that was left in the house. What about Moses? The staff in his hand. What about you? This is why we need to be seeking the face of God. With God, the little in your hand becomes much. Because your destiny could be tied to that thing that you despise, that thing that you think is not important. Remember that we are spirit beings that lives in the body and we have a soul. We must look at things from the eye of the spirit and not take things of God with just, you know, with carelessness. Esau, all that Esau did was to take it with carelessness. What about the people in your life, your husband, your wife? Do you treat them with carelessness? What about your current job, wherever you are located in life at this point? Do you start to see the glory of God in your situation, even though there may be temporary difficulties? Don't be like Esau, who takes the things of God with insignificance. The Bible said just because he changed the order of his birth, his blessing was changed. And in verse 17, the Bible said he sought it with tears, but it became irreversible. Every wrong decision, every wrong turn you have taken in your life today, grace is available to you. It becomes reversible in the mighty name of Jesus. He said he sought it with tears. He could not find it again. It was a momentary decision. And the Bible classed him as somebody who despised sacred things. Don't let the pain of the moment drive you to a point that you throw away something you just think it's immaterial. Because your destiny may be tied to it. Let me tell you the story of another person. Why we need to work with, because the only way you will end up not throwing away what is important for your life is when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. I'm sure the women who came yesterday probably heard Pastor Mrs. Adeboye talk about Abigail. Did you talk about Abigail? Praise the Lord. You remember Abigail and the husband? What's the name of the husband? Nabal. What was wrong with Nabal? She discussed the story with me and I told him, what did Nabal do wrong? What did he do wrong? Eh? As far as I'm concerned, Nabal didn't do anything wrong. David encamped somewhere where Nabal was living. Nabal had flocks, servants. They helped to look after the flocks, servants. And then David, because he was helping to look after, came and made a request to Nabal. Nabal didn't beg him to look after his flocks. Did he beg David? No, he didn't beg him. He didn't ask Nabal to help look after the flock. David was angry because he would not give to him. Two things I told my wife. I said, look, it's because Nabal was unmerciful. But more importantly, listen to this. More importantly, The problem with Nabal was that he did not understand the move of God. There was a king in Israel. Saul was the name. But God had transferred the anointing and the kingdom from Saul to David. If he understood the move of the time, the move of God, he would have recognized that David was the man. I remember in those days when we were in Nigeria, there was an advice, say, wise men back with UBA. Eh? And they quickly put, and women too. Praise the Lord. People who are moved by the Spirit, they know where to bank. That was the difference. Just imagine, I told my wife, just imagine, if he had been good to David that time, do you know that could have changed the story of his family forever? But he did not have an understanding of the move of God. You will have an understanding of the move of God in Jesus' name. That was the only thing he did wrong. He probably thought, if I was good to him, Saul would come and kill me. But God had already moved from Saul to David. The most dangerous place to be is to be at cross purpose with God. You will not be at cross purpose with God. That was what happened in the life of Esau. That was what happened in the life of Nabal. People who are at cross purpose with God will begin to hate what they ought to love. The Lord will favor you in Jesus' name. And so in closing, there is a man. Whenever we pray, we like to pray. I know I've been to a few of the house fellowship centers, and we pray this prayer. And we pray for the blessings of Obed-Edom. We say, God bless this house like you blessed Obed-Edom. What was different in the life of Obed-Edom was that he loved God. He loved with a risk to his life. I told people, I said, somebody had just died, Usha just died, or Uzzah just died from touching the ark. He thought he was doing good. Please be careful with the things of God. Don't help God to rearrange things. The ark was going to fall. He grabbed it. He died. Obed-Edom should not have taken the ark into his house. I mean, you and I, we have children. We know what it is like. And I said to people, what is the guarantee that if we put the ark in his house, his children will not go and play and touch the ark and the whole house will just die? Yet, Obed-Edom do what? He did what? He took a risk with God. Everyone who takes a risk with God in this house, God will bless you in Jesus' name. He decided to be on the side of God and took a risk with God. What happens after 3 months? So it's not just enough to say, look, you know, you must be ready to take risk with God. Risk with God. And say, God, I'm on your side, irrespective of what is happening on the other side. He saw death before his very eyes. And yet, he pitched his tent with God, and God did something. Within 3 months, he became the envy of a king. It was because of the news of his blessing that David had that he said, look, now I'm going to take the ark to Jerusalem. Because when he saw that Uzzah was killed, he was afraid. He said, I can't take the ark home. The Lord will bless you irreversibly in Jesus' name. And of course, when you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and you read downwards there, the Bible says part of the causes of evil in the world is when the sons of nobles start to trek on their feet, while the sons of servants begin to ride horses. For you are the children of the Most High God. We complain about what is happening in the world around us. It is because you and I are not placed where we are supposed to be. It is because the people who have the Spirit of God are not positioned where they ought to be. When the people, because what does the Bible say? It says, when the righteous reign, what happens? The people rejoice, because there will be a reason for people to rejoice. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of the children of the living God. and you are going to be manifested in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Why don't you just pray to God and say, Father, in any way, any gift you have given me, if I've lost it, Father, this is an opportunity for me, O Lord, restore me in Jesus' name. Say, Father, restore unto me. Restore unto me everything that the enemy had stolen from me. Everything that I've lost. Everything that should be my portion. My Father, my God, restore to me in Jesus' name. I want you to pray to the Lord. And the Lord will hear you. And the Lord will be merciful unto you. And the Lord will be gracious unto you. He will cause his face to shine upon you. And today is your day. It's a day of grace. It's a day of grace. It's a day that destinies will be changed for the better. In the mighty name of Jesus, speak to the Lord, because some people, because they were not careful to take note of what God was doing, they missed their destiny. You will not miss your destiny. You are positioned for greatness. You are positioned to be the one that the world is waiting for. You are positioned to change the world around you. You are positioned to affect the generations to come. You are positioned to be a blessing to the people. You are positioned to be a mighty instrument in the hand of the Almighty. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what your education is. I don't care where you are placed right now. But the Almighty God is set to do a mighty thing in your life. Ask God now. Speak to the Lord. He's set to promote you. He said to do a great thing in your life. He said to visit you mightily in the name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We just worship you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for the people in the house that you have already positioned for your greatness. Oh, yes, the greatness of somebody is around the corner. The manifestation of the glory of God is upon somebody here in the house right now in Jesus' name. Your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In the hands of your people. Lord, that is a position, that is a channel for their greatness. My Lord and my God, open their eyes that they may see. That, Lord, that you are going to set them on high above their fellows in Jesus' name. That you are going to bless them and lift up their heads like that of the unicorn in Jesus' name. Lord, even at your word and at your command this morning, I pronounce your people blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now we are going